From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Michael Cohen will testify again today on Capitol Hill, as you're hearing in news reports. It is a closed-door session, but NPR will provide some coverage in updates throughout the day on Cap Radio. This week's Capitol Chat will focus on California politics and last weekend's state Republican convention. However, Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler is in the studio with me, and we are just seeing a news release, I believe, from PG&E.
It's actually a report in the SAC B that was paying attention to an investor call that PG&E appears to have had this morning, in which PG&E acknowledged that its power equipment is likely to blame for the Camp Fire, the deadliest fire in California history. And so, of course, we can extrapolate from that all of the liability under California's existing laws that PG&E, in theory, would be accountable for. And we should say that Cal Fire is still investigating the cause of the fire, and nothing is official until Cal Fire says our investigators have determined the cause. That said, there has long been some suspicion that PG&E equipment was to blame for this. The Wall Street Journal yesterday reported that the utility delayed for years work on the power line that is the prime suspect in the California wildfire. And so this would be a huge deal for the utility that is already, as we know, in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
The other piece of confirmation here would have to come from Cal Fire, which we'll wait for as
exactly.
Well. So you can follow this developing story at capradio.org. With Ben here with me, we can reflect back on the Republican state convention. And Jessica Patterson is the headline name that came out of that convention. She is the first woman in the job now as the new leader of the California Republican Party, the first Latina. I don't know if there could be, and this is coming from my perspective as a woman living in the state of California, if there could be a bigger signal of change for the Republican Party.
That was what the Republican Party, or at least the folks who supported Patterson, were trying to do in large part. Also, they were trying to head off the selection of Travis Allen, the firebrand former assemblyman and unsuccessful gubernatorial candidate. He also was running for party chair, but he fell short to Jessica Patterson, who is far from a never Trumper, but believes that the party needs to be doing more. I mean, everyone was saying that the party should be doing more than it's been doing to win, or that, you know, what it's been doing hasn't been working. But Patterson talked about kind of super localizing the party's message. She is currently the CEO of an organization that recruits and trains state legislative Republican candidates. She is a strong ally of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield, and she had the establishment support. Here is a little clip of her speaking Saturday afternoon during a debate between the three candidates for party chair.
I've said it a bunch of times, and it's going to be the solution to a lot of our problems. We need to get back into communities. We need to start engaging people. People are not going to re-register as Republicans as long as they think that we are one thing. We need to show them what our core principles, ideals, and values are. We need to show that they align with us, and we need to engage them. We need to make them feel comfortable and welcome into our party. It's going to be the solution for a lot of our ills. It is us. It is all of us getting out there, connecting with people, and bringing them back into what we want to do.
And Beth, it was striking. On Friday night, the convention opened honoring its past chairs, and there were 10 men, 9 of them white, 1 Cuban American, up on stage, including the current and or then current and now former outgoing chair, Jim Brulte. Right now, the state Republican Party's chair is female. She's Latina. The state party's vice chair is a Taiwanese man. So you can see this is very different at this point.
California is one of many, many states that will have a real change in historic images in these next couple years, with more women, more people of diversity being elected and taking leadership roles in politics. So those pictures of the past will just at first glance look very different from the pictures of today and the future.
Well, a lot of folks were saying, look, the California Republican Party needs to look more like California. Democrats will point out if as long as the party continues to embrace Donald Trump, it may not get very far in California. And Democrats would argue that it shouldn't, achieve much success in California with its views. But that is another argument for another day.
What other changes were people talking to you about in the interviews you did that last weekend? And by the way, I do want to say there were no one-on-ones with Jessica Patterson. That's something that I hope will come in the near future.
Yeah, and we'll certainly try to have her here on Insight, of course. But yeah, so of course there is this tension between the different factions of the Republican Party, as there is tension between factions of the Democratic Party. But that's another topic for another day. However, you know, on the one side, you have folks like Travis Allen who are arguing this party needs to more vocally embrace and support President Trump. You have the Never Trump faction saying we need to very forcefully reject President Trump. And for a long time, the establishment, so to speak, I call it, for lack of a better phrase, the Kevin McCarthy wing of the party, has been trying to thread that needle in California. McCarthy in Washington unhesitatingly embracing the president, where folks like Paul Ryan, former House Speaker, did not. But here in California, McCarthy making a little more nuanced choices and getting the president to endorse John Cox for governor, even though Cox did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016 and that endorsement over Travis Allen. That's an example. But when you have this discussion about should Trump be rejected, this coming Tuesday, a group called New Way, which is the de facto Never Trump wing of the Republican Party right now, which is going to have its forum in Sacramento. Guest speakers are going to include former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, the longtime editor of the now shut down Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol, and many more. And Chad Mays, the Orange County, or rather Inland Empire Assemblyman, who has been one of the leaders of New Way, I met up with him at the hotel bar, which was here at the Sacramento Hyatt Regency across the street from the Capitol. And there's been a debate whether New Way should try to form a brand new party or stick with the Republican Party and rebuild it from within. And here's a clip of our discussion.
No, I mean, with New Way, the truth is the party itself does not have the capacity to be able to do the things that we need to do to start winning again. There's got to be an outside vehicle.
You can't start a brand new party and lose the apparatus, can you?
I didn't say start a new party. Starting a party itself, organizationally, that there's actually a process to go through to be able to do that. You got to get 67,000 or 70,000 registrants. I mean, there's a couple of different ways of being able to do that, so nobody's talking about doing that. But the truth is, Democrats in California are like 43-44% today. Republicans are at 24%. I don't think anybody disagree with this, but in California, the Republican brand is toxic. That's a fact. But that doesn't mean our ideas are toxic. So how can you advance our ideas? Well, there's got to be another way of being able to deliver that message, and that's the space that New Way's in.
They're definitely looking for a continuing bigger platform to keep the dialogue and the attention focused on this party.
And they believe they will have that on Tuesday when they host their forum.
All right, Ben, it's also noteworthy. I saw that you were tweeting about this, that for a very short while, California had a woman in the governor's office.
As acting governor, Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis, who is the first female to be elected Lieutenant Governor of California. And so when Gavin Newsom left the state for a few days to go to Washington, D.C. and New York City, she was acting governor. It was the first time an elected female lieutenant governor had served as acting governor. A lot of caveats in there, which is another discussion for another day.
More firsts.
Yes.
Firsts. When the governor is in Sacramento, he is being seen, Ben, out and about with his family. I was having dinner with my family at a Midtown restaurant.
Yeah.
And there was the governor and the first partner, First Lady Jennifer,
yes,
with their kids in the restaurant, everybody in jeans, acting like a normal family, getting stopped, posing for pictures, having a great time, little bit of security, but truly out and about, just living life and dinner time like so many of us do.
Well, they're still, I believe, living in the governor's mansion while they remodel that new mansion they bought out in the Arden Arcade Carmichael area. So maybe they'll be going to dinner out in another part of town sometime soon.
Well, it is an ongoing narrative of differences between this family in the office and previous families, also this governor and previous governors. And you do have another news story today about a difference on the issue of tax language and dialogue that has happened with the citizens of California and the governor.
So Jerry Brown ran for governor of California in 2010 with a no new taxes without voter approval pledge. It was everywhere on the campaign trail in all of his TV ads, and it really helped him. It's interesting to look back now. That was a much closer election than you might think it would be in retrospect after 8 years of our 7 years of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Meg Whitman vastly outspending Jerry Brown. And, Brown was losing the polls for a while. That helped him win. Gavin Newsom, last year during the campaign, I asked him, will you make the same pledge? And his answer in the moment led me to believe that he was. He said, yeah, I'm for tax reform and no new tax reform without voter approval. His office says not only was that not making the pledge. He never did make the pledge during the campaign. Okay. And he's, in fact, backed some revenue increases so far in his governorship, a 911 fee, a clean drinking water fee, a statewide individual mandate for health insurance. And none of those, it believes, are actual taxes, but rather fees and penalties.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. We'll direct everybody to capradio.org for that story today.
Yes.
As well as more coverage from the state Republican convention. And it's all at capradio.org. /insight. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.